If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us today on this Victory Monday on the Border Patrol. It's been a while since we said that. Monday, December 11th, 2017. The Chiefs yesterday get a big, big win against the Oakland Raiders. What a performance by the defense for most of the afternoon. Even without Marcus Peters, the Chiefs were dominating the Raiders for three quarters. The Raiders made a furious comeback, but they were just too deep in a hole, 26-0. It was too much for the Raiders to overcome, and the Chiefs still in first place. Now this sets up a huge game against the LA Chargers on Saturday night. Remember, this is a Saturday night game coming up. Saturday night primetime game at Arrowhead, basically for the division title. So, been a roller coaster ride all season long. Chiefs were really good. The Chiefs were really bad. Hopefully they can be really good again, because that's what they're going to beat the Chargers on Saturday night. Because right now the Chargers, they're playing better than anyone in the AFC except for New England and Pittsburgh, because they are in a group by themselves, as we were reminded again last night. It never, ever matters what the score is of a football game against Pittsburgh until the fourth quarter. And just side note, personal note, sounds weird saying this after a Chiefs win and after Alex Smith was pretty good. He was solid. Good solid performance. If I ever have to hear anyone say that Ben Roethlisberger is just mailing it in at the end of his career and Alex Smith is better than Ben Roethlisberger, my head will explode just right then when I hear it. I won't even be able to react. No more me. And then I'm gone. I've had to hear it on this radio station. I've had to hear people that defend Alex Smith. Well, Ben Roethlisberger. It is unbelievably frustrating to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers when you don't like them. It because they always win. And it always looks like they're going to lose. I'm telling you. You flip, and this is the definition of an MVP. You flip the quarterbacks. You flip Roethlisberger and Alex Smith, and maybe you flip the records. These close games that have come down to the fourth quarter to one possession. When one guy's got the ball in his hands, when the Chiefs' offense has failed miserably the last three games leading up until this win, that's the Steelers every week. They look like garbage. They look like they're vulnerable. Then in the fourth quarter, oh, we're down 11 against Baltimore. Okay, well, let's just break everyone's hearts in real football and in fantasy football, just like the week before, just like the week before that. And so, again, I know we've had this debate with Jeff Chedia. We've had this debate with other people. Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger, that's a whole different story. And as long as those two are operating at this level, yes, yesterday's victory was fun. It was great. The Chiefs end the losing streak and end the season, really, of the Oakland Raiders. The pathetic Oakland Raiders that were picked by many to win this division, that's now over. What a pathetic performance by the Oakland Raiders. If I was an Oakland Raiders fan, and thank God I'm not, but if I was a Raiders fan, I would be so embarrassed by what I saw out there. Getting shut out for three quarters by a Chiefs defense without Marcus Peters. So, that was great. It's always great to end the Raider season, essentially. But again, just a reminder last night, watching that stupid Steelers-Ravens game. You put yourself in a terrible position when you root against the Steelers. And you put yourself in even a worse position. Oh, okay, now they're going to lose. This is the week. Yeah, the Ravens, their offense wakes up, and they've got them down 11 going into the fourth quarter. Then you watch it. Same thing every single week. And, oh, by the way, Roethlisberger threw for over 500 yards against the Ravens. Are you kidding me? And I listened to people after that playoff game. Well, there's no difference in those quarterbacks. Roethlisberger's the end of his career. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, shut up, please. There. I said to get that off my chest. All right? And look, I'm no Steelers fan. Far from it. But, I mean, at some point you tip your cap and you say, give respect where respect is due. Because it's like every week it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Oh, looks like they're going to lose. Oh, they're not going to lose because their quarterback is better than everybody not named Brady in the AFC. So, that was frustrating. But let's get back to the story. The Raiders suck. Let's just get that out there. All the hand-wringing. And I will. I like to throw other people under the bus. So I got to throw my own people under the bus. Jake gave the Chiefs no chance without Marcus Peters. And they played better than they have in a month without Marcus Peters. And so as a Marcus Peters supporter and the guy that loves Marcus Peters more than anyone else on the show, how does that make you feel? Because I think that's a good question today for Chiefs fans. How does that make you feel that they did that without Marcus Peters yesterday? And but we can't have any revisionist history because what the narrative was, oh, Carr and Cooper and Crabtree up and down the field. You kidding me? Good luck. And they were at zero going into the fourth quarter. I'm not going to tell you that I thought the Chiefs were going to win. I didn't think they'd shut them out for three quarters.
No.
I thought they won. It was going to be like a game that took place in Oakland, right? You thought the Chiefs would win, but didn't you think it would be like a shootout? Like, okay, it's on the offense now.
Yep.
He's got to outscore them.
Yeah.
It's going to get wild. It's going to get crazy. They shut out the Raiders for three quarters. I know they scored 15, but essentially, while the game was up in the air, it was over. 26-0 going into the fourth quarter is over. Over.
Yeah.
Done. What does that make you think now? What does that make you think? What does that make me think? I don't know what it makes me think, Jake. It
makes me think the same thing that I thought last week. I can't figure this team out. To watch them win and go 6-0 at the beginning of the season and watch them swing, it's been one of the biggest mind-blowing events I've seen, especially with this Chiefs team. But, I mean, it makes me feel great that they can do that. But it goes back to, we should have listened to Tim Grunhard more. I mean, because I feel like that's what happened. This defense stepped up. This defense actually put pressure on the quarterback. I mean, from the get-go, they were getting push on the line.
Well, I told you when I was at ADA on Wednesday, right after the news came out, I'm there and everyone's asking, you know what? I told Brad, I told a bunch of listeners that came by, I said, you know what? This is going to inspire the Chiefs. We're going to come out, and they're going to give a hell of an effort. The defense is going to look better than it has in the last couple of weeks, and they're going to win. And then I told you guys I went home and thought about it. I said,
dummy.
What, idiot.
Dummy.
You moron. Why would you tell everyone that?
Why would you?
Why do you feel that way? But you just do. But then you start looking on a paper like, huh? And then you think, well, could Revis help? And he did. He had a couple of plays. There was something left of the tank. He did, right?
Yeah, he helped.
Terrence Mitchell, again, he's gotten away from his banishment. He was okay.
Had a pick.
Oh, that was a hell of a play. There was a pass rush, an actual pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
There were some hard hits. There was at least a couple of times that Marshawn Lynch got hit. I go, who the hell was that? Reggie Ragland. Like, ooh, there you are again. And the hit by Derek Johnson on Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fantastic. The much maligned Derek Johnson. That was great to see him make a big play. They were a hard-hitting, aggressive, somewhat intimidating defense for three quarters. They look like the tougher team. They look like the better coach team, which that's not really saying a lot. Because Jack Del Rio is not a good coach. He's an okay coach. But if I was Oakland, I'd be looking for another coach. I've said that in the past. I'd be looking for a different coach. But that's, you know what? Keep him. Sign him to a 5-year extension, as far as I'm concerned. Carr is awful. He was whatever happens to him at Arrowhead Stadium, I don't know what they do. I don't know what his issue is with Arrowhead Stadium, but he's terrible at Arrowhead, and I'm to the point now where I've vastly overrated him. Vastly overrated Carr. And I'm willing to admit that now, that I've been wrong about him. Because you hit him early, and it is done.
Yes.
He is the opposite of Ben Roethlisberger. It's like you hit Roethlisberger early and make him look bad early, then he will make you pay in the fourth quarter. The only time that, like this season that didn't happen was that game against Jacksonville. And we're starting to see Jacksonville's defense is kind of good. Maybe kind of great. But it's like if you get the car early, that might be it.
He's had one good game in his career against the Chiefs, and that was the one time they never got any pressure on him. That was last time out, which stunned me that they didn't try to put more pressure on him that game, because it's been the easy recipe for him every time they played him. But yeah, I'm with you. I saw a lot of people yesterday saying that the Chiefs played well because Marcus Peters wasn't out there. I don't know. I mean, none of us are going to know the real answer, but I'm with you, and I'm with what Grunty said. His comments from Friday just kept ringing in my ears watching that game yesterday of Andy Reid delivered a wake-up call, and the defense answered the alarm. They stepped up.
No, they were challenged, and they stepped up. It's not specifically because Marcus Peters wasn't out there, but
right.
it was the decision. It was the statement.
Right.
Like when I asked Nacho, Raheem Nunez Droches, and I tried, you know, hey, what was the statement that was received? He was all, no comment.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. No, they didn't want to talk about it because I'm quite sure that they were being careful with what they would say. But of course there was a statement that was received. Of course there was. And the state, well, I mean, you can look at it from many different ways, but the one that sticks out to me is a lot of people jumped ship and said, oh, well, Andy Reid, you're basically giving a game to the Raiders. You've just lost this game. And the rest of the defense, I think the message is, hey, we believe that you could still win this game without Marcus Peters. We're not a one-man show. We believe that you can win this game. We don't need Marcus Peters to win this game. We believe in you as a unit. And they knew that they all had to play to a man. They all had to play better. And they accepted the challenge, and they did it. That's very powerful. Now, how is Marcus Peters going to receive this message?
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to be when he comes back? Especially after the reports now out there that he had an argument with one of the coaches, and that's another reason why he was suspended. What's his response going to be? Is he going to come back engaged and wanting to be a part of this football team and wanting to be a part of this defense? Or, I mean, do me a favor, predict Marcus Peters' behavior and how he's going to respond. I don't know. You'd like to think he's going to respond in a positive manner, but we'll see. If he does, if this was a wake-up call to him, then you could have something here. We've got more to talk about. Also, the Chiefs finally doing what I freaking beg them to do for weeks and weeks and weeks, commit to the running game. See how that works? See how fun that was? Oh, even when it's hard yards, it pays off. Keep running the football. There was a commitment to running the football, which irritates the hell out of me that there hasn't been a commitment to running the football for several weeks. Finally, and it paid off, and hopefully we're going to see that every single game moving forward. Good day at Arrowhead yesterday. Raiders are done. You can watch how the rest of the playoff picture shapes up now. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WH.
Yeah, I thought the guys rallied to the ball well. I thought they challenged. I thought Bob Sutton had a nice game plan that he put together. And the guys, they all played together and did a good job there. Yeah.
I feel like that first series kind of set the tone. One of your DBs got his hand on the ball and then
Yeah, so listen, anytime you can hit the quarterback the way he was hit early, that affects him. And then we rallied to the ball as far as the run game goes. The first series set the tempo, yes. But we found out last week there's more than that. You got to follow up on it. So it was really all three phases. We've been up and down, offense 1 week, defense the next week, special teams here and there. They all play together. So.
And here's what will drive you crazy about the NFL. You watch the Cowboys go to New York and dominate the Giants. You watch the Jets go to Denver and get shut out by the Broncos. And that was even worse for me based on what we saw last week from the Chiefs defense. And I don't know how much of that game you watched, but if you watch the Broncos and Jets, the Jets could do nothing. I know their quarterback got hurt, broke his hand, but even before he was hurt, they were doing nothing. They could do nothing. The Giants looked hapless against the Cowboys. It's maddening. It's maddening that the Chiefs lost to those teams. It's really unbelievable. I can even accept the Bills, because the Chiefs have had problems with the Bills in the past, and the Bills have had some decent performances, and they're a borderline playoff team. But what happened against the Jets and the Giants, it was more than football. It was mental. I still can't believe they lost to those two teams. And then watching yesterday, it's like, whoa, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Jets? This is the team? This team that can't put up a point in Denver? And some other observations that I made yesterday. I don't know why. First of all, you don't even know it. I was so pissed off at you, Jake, yesterday. Just for, I don't know. I like to blame other people when my fantasy football team doesn't do well. But I'm gonna give you credit for a quarterback that you love, and then I'm gonna take power. Okay, I'm now convinced that whatever team gives a whole bunch of money to Kirk Cousins, it's going to ruin their franchise, and he will be a huge disappointment, because I can tell you that I can no longer stand watching him play quarterback in the NFL. I can't stand it. I will never have him as my fantasy quarterback again. So you watch him every week, and I don't like watching him play quarterback. It's a very unenjoyable process for me to watch
him. Good thing you're not a Redskins
fan. Right. But no, but I mean, there's all these teams out there that are contemplating what they're going to do at quarterback, and he's one of the options, and the amount of money that it's going to take to get him.
Somebody's going to pay him.
And it's going to be
a lot of money.
And it's going to be too much, and you're not going to be able to put enough talent around him, and it's going to be a disaster. That's the way I feel.
Except for him.
Right. But I mean, just in football, right?
Right.
Like the way you feel about Alex Smith and how much money he makes and everything else, it's going to be, I think it might even be worse. Now, that said, so I am no longer a supporter of Kirk Cousins. I was unbelievably impressed by Nick Foles when he came into the game for the Eagles in a shootout, in a wild game where he had to make some big plays.
What a great game.
Where he had to pick up a couple of key third downs. He was thrust into a situation,
yep,
where you know that everyone had to be thinking about Carson Wentz, and then the reports started to come out. I mean, immediately. He's out for the game, and then who was it? Aaron Andrews, which I don't know why I highlight whenever a sideline reporter actually has a good report, because it seems like it never ever happens. They're always just up on the screen for no reason to tell you things that they don't even know what the hell they're talking about. I'm just not a fan of sideline reporters really in any sport, I guess, because I never learn anything from them. But she had a report, and she said, I was over there, and I watched some of the Eagles personnel walk out of the medical room, and they were all just shaking their heads. Looked like they couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, boy. And you could tell, I mean, it was just a perfect report, and it right then, it gave you the information that you what you knew it was really bad. And you're thinking, oh, boy. Probably the leading candidate for the MVP. I don't know. Super Bowl favorite or one of the Super Bowl favorites. And that's going to happen? Can you imagine that? Mm. Oh. Oh, wow. But Foles was good coming in. And I like Nick Foles.
He'll get a chance.
Were you guys watching that game?
Oh, yeah. It was a great game. Yeah.
I mean, but when he,
great
you know.
Game. Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, they needed him to make plays.
And he did.
And he made plays.
I mean, that's why you want a backup quarterback that's got experience.
That's exactly right.
So we'll get to see. I mean, he's stepping into a good situation. He's stepping into an 11-2 team with good players around him. So, you know, maybe. I think.
Those players are falling like flies, though, man.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
See how many impact players they've lost.
Tight end is injured. I don't know about you guys. I find the NFC so much more compelling right now than the AFC. Because like you said, I mean, basically the AFC feels like, it's like the NBA. It's like, oh, it's going to be the Warriors and the Cavs, so everything else is kind of just window dressing.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's the Steelers and the Pats, so it's all...
That's right.
You know, the rest of it's just kind of like, oh, who else is going to get a chance to go to the playoffs and lose to them? But the NFC, it's like there's all these different good teams with young quarterbacks or sometimes old quarterbacks. You know, Aaron Rodgers going to come back and make a difference for the Packers, the Eagles, the Rams, the Vikings are all interesting, compelling teams. The Carolina Panthers are a compelling team all of a sudden. I feel like you don't know. Any team, any one of those teams, Falcons throw in there, I guess, any one of those teams can make the Super Bowl, whereas you feel like in the AFC there's two teams, and that's all it's going to come down to.
It's definitely wide open in the NFC. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. For two segments now, I've tried to bring up the Kansas loss to Arizona State. I've been told no by the producer and
the co-host.
We
have a guest on the show right now.
Going to get to that.
What happened?
You see a video of Bobby Hurley celebrating in the locker room?
Yep.
How about them Chiefs?
Did you see that video of KU playing defense?
Go Chiefs!
What? Like that's an awful. That's like a general video. Like what do you mean?
It didn't exist. The footage does not exist.
You're supposed to say no. I didn't see it. Hey, got you. How about them Chiefs?
Hello, Mark Boerichter. How are you?
Morning, fellas. I'm doing well.
How you doing?
Well.
Here's the deal. So a lot of people, Jake, said, oh, Chiefs, no way they can win. He you know what? He was not alone. Thousands of people with him. But you can't take me serious because I have picked the Chiefs to win, I think, was it 4 weeks in a row? And so you can see what my opinion's worth. But I really felt like you would see an inspired effort at least from the team and some emotion and some hard hitting and something when they've been, well, like for instance, they were just terrible against the Jets last week. So it wouldn't take much to get a better effort than that. But shutting out the Raiders for three quarters and making Carr again look terrible at Arrowhead Stadium. What were you thinking when you were watching that, Mark Boerichter?
Well, I wasn't real confident coming into this game either, Steven, to be honest with you. I mean, what had this team done over the last, you know, 5-6 weeks to give us any kind of a glimmer of, I don't want to say hope, but glimmer of anything that they would win this game? And I was thoroughly impressed yesterday. I was. I was out at the game, and I saw this team's attitude, the desire to win, the swagger was back. The body language was completely different this week for this team, and it was that way from the start of the game. And that's the part, to me, I think that was the major difference is, for whatever reason, they looked like they wanted to win a football game. And when I say for whatever reason, they haven't looked that way over the last couple weeks. They got some extra effort, and I say extra effort out of guys. They got some effort out of some guys yesterday that needed to put forth the effort, and mainly on defense. And I was happy to see them come out with the win. I mean, I think it was a must-win football game for them if they wanted a shot of winning the division. And now you look at the next 3 weeks here. I believe the Raiders and the Chargers still have to play.
Last game of the year.
Point. Yeah, I think it's the last game of the year when the Chiefs play the Broncos. So, and Chiefs play the Chargers this week. I mean, this is the week right now that the Chiefs can, I don't want to say not all, but seal the division by any means. But if you go out and win this game this week against the Los Angeles Chargers, you've got the division in your hands and moving forward, because which is all we can hope for right now as Chiefs fans, and as as you look at this team, they're going to have to get to win the division to get in the playoffs.
I believe this is the AFC West title game. I whoever wins this game, I think it's going to win the division. But what adjustments did you see from Bob Sutton as far as how the defense played and how the defense was called? Anything that stood out to you in the absence of Marcus Peters?
Well, I haven't gone back and watched the film yet, the All 22 and stuff, but just being out of the game, watching it from there, I thought they played a little simpler from time to time, if that makes sense. I don't think this team, sometimes on defense, can't get any simpler. It's man-to-man coverage across the board a lot of times, but I thought they looked from time to time as they played a little bit of more zone defense behind it. Like I said, I haven't watched the film yet, so I can't be 100% sure, but, I thought Terrence Mitchell played well. Opposite side, I thought Revis looked a lot better than what he did the week ago.
Nelson, too.
And Nelson, too. I think the big thing, again, it's an attitude and it's a swagger thing. I mean, you look at the defensive line. So I think the way they have 3 sacks yesterday,
yep.
Which we haven't seen them get very many sacks, if any, over the last few weeks. Some quarterback pressures. They were consistently in the backfield or penetrating and pushing Oakland backwards. And that's a difficult team, offensive line, to do that again. It's a big physical offensive line. I mean, Chris Jones decided to play with low pad level yesterday, and we saw what he can do. I mean, he came back to the Chris Jones we thought he was at the beginning of this year. Alan Bailey did a great job, I thought. I mean, Jarvis Jenkins, they got some contributions yesterday from guys that they need to get contributions from. And I think when you look at the defensive side of the ball, I didn't necessarily notice that Marcus Peters was missing. You know, from the standpoint of pressure on the quarterback and coverage go hand in hand. And when you're able to get to the quarterback and put some pressure on the quarterback, it forces him to either get the ball out early or you're putting him on his back and it's helping your secondary out. So that was the part to me yesterday that stood out. Is they brought some pressure and they got pressure out of their front 4 guys. I know Justin Houston had a sack as well. I mean, they got going defensively to get to the car, and that was the difference for me.
Do you think the Chiefs played with this attitude and aggression that you're talking about because they suspended Marcus Peters or in spite of the fact that they suspended Marcus Peters?
I don't think it had anything to do with it, Nate, to be honest with you. I'll point to one guy, and I'm not going to say that – I don't want to say that this guy just came in and gave him a pep talk, but I saw number 29 rolling around out there yesterday, and from all I heard after the game, too, was the fact that Eric Berry was around the team more this past week. And I talked about this on the pregame show. I think they miss his leadership. I think that defense misses his calming presence and his steady leadership. And when I say that, it's not about the physical tools of him being on the football field. It's about the leadership standpoint of keeping the guys together. And he's been around a little bit more, it sounded like, this week. I think that's the biggest thing that's been missing. When you go on a losing streak, the way this team has gone on the losing streak and struggling over the last 6-7 weeks, sometimes it's hard to get out of that, to have somebody throw you a ladder down there to get out of that hole you've dug yourself in. And I think that for whatever reason, this team looked soul-searching. Maybe it needed to be a true must-win game against a divisional opponent to get them out of it. And to look at it and say, hey, we got 3 of our last 4 games at home. We can still get hot here, win 3 out of 4, or win 4 to end the season, and go into the playoffs, maybe not seated where we'd like to be seated, but we can go into the playoffs on a positive note and feeling good about ourselves. And they got that done yesterday. I think there's a big piece that comes into this, and that is the fact that it's more of an attitude and a desire that this team showed yesterday.
And so, I mean, are they saying that he wasn't around enough before? I mean, and so if not, then why wasn't he? Why did they wait until now to get him more involved and to get him around the team if he wasn't around the team? That's puzzling to me that they just figured out that, okay, let's have him around the team now because he's a good leader.
I don't think it's really not puzzling to me, Steven, and I'll tell you why, though. I think when you get guys that are out for the year with an injury like this, it's difficult to stay engaged with the team if you're that guy. Part of it has to do with your rehab schedule. You're not going to every single meeting. You're not doing all the stuff you're doing that you would normally do throughout the course of a year because your schedule is completely different than what is going on inside the building all the time. So, you know, and I don't know whether Eric Berry's doing all of his rehab here. I'm assuming he's probably doing some rehab in additional places, maybe back home. He may be doing it, I think up in Minnesota where he had a surgery done. Who knows? And that's not out of the norm for an NFL team, for guys that get hurt to not always be in the building all the time, especially when you're on the IR and dealing with a severe injury. You may be rehabbing someplace at a specialty place, not even in Kansas City. So it's not out of the norm. I just think, and I don't want to make too much of it. I really don't. With what the guy said there, Barry being back around, but if the attitude and the body language, like I said before, the body language and the attitude and everything around this team just looked different yesterday to me than what it has over the last 6-7 weeks.
Vahe Gregorian.
They just looked like this team that wanted to come out and almost said, like, we're going to win. It was completely different, the vibe was.
Vahe Gregorian, for whatever it's worth, that was the point of his column this morning in the Star, and he had a lot of quotes from a lot of different players that, I mean, they basically spoke about him like a father figure. They're like, we don't. If Eric Berry's on the field, I don't want to let him down because I look like a little boy in his eyes, and I want to be a man. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen quotes like that about a player on your own team. You know what I mean? It seems like that's something you say about your dad or your head coach or something like that. It's pretty crazy to see some of the quotes from these guys about it.
No, it is. I will also tell you this, that I think, you know, it shows the respect those guys have for Eric Berry in that locker room. But I also think that, look, this team has some other deep-rooted issues, though, if it's only going to take one guy walking in, right? It hasn't been around because he's been hurt all year, and all of a sudden this team is lifted up. I mean, that's also an indictment a little bit of where your locker room is and the types of players you have, because it shouldn't take one guy like that for you to get up every single week, you know. Now, maybe in some big game situations, he comes in and it helps motivate it a little bit over the course of a week. But it shouldn't take Eric Berry on that defense every single time getting those guys up and going. It shouldn't.
Yeah,
and that's got to come internally from each individual player too.
He's been at other games. I mean, I've seen him on the sideline in other games.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, this was the week they decided to be inspired by him? I mean, that just seems so bizarre to me. He's been at other games, so they didn't feel...
I don't know. The whole article talks about how he spent the whole week with the team, and he apparently gave the speech in the huddle before the game, and he was standing next to him. Kept showing him on the sideline next to the coach.
So then for that,
I don't know.
So then why did they wait so long to do that?
I don't know.
They just realized, he can inspire the team. I don't know.
Sometimes, you know, when a team wins, we look for a reason. Well, you know, because there's a lot of people that think that it was, like, you don't think it was, Mark, about Marcus Peters, but boy, I heard from a lot of people yesterday, get the cancer out, you get Marcus Peters out, now everybody's going to play well because he's, you know, they don't have the selfish guy out on the field, and now they're inspired. You know what I mean? Like, people want to find the one reason that the team all of a sudden looked different than they've looked for the last, you know, 6 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, Nate, there that it's been, it's kind of like when you win older, everybody looks at the single reason. What was the single reason? There wasn't any other single reason. I just saw yesterday a different team, a different vibe. That's what I saw. Sure. I saw guys winning at the line, and it transferred over to guys winning at the line of scrimmage, especially the defensive line. Guys shedding blocks and getting off blocks. And, like, they still had some issues in the secondary yesterday. They still had tackling issues yesterday. But Marshawn Lynch is a beast, obviously, to bring down. Like, they still had some issues, and they're going to. They had some issues in the kicking game yesterday. With the block punt, I mean, there was a lot of things that still went wrong for this team yesterday. But a lot of times, especially this time of year, that emotion, playing at home, that sort of thing, you can overcome some of the things that didn't go as well for you. And so, you know, I think it played a part in it yesterday. And I think this team, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, just decided to wake up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they decided to wake up and get off blocks and make some tackles and make a few plays. I mean, you know, Kelsey had a couple drops yesterday. They left some plays out there. They set up for too many field goals offensively, but at the end of the day, a win's a win, and they got back on track, and they did it in a fashion for 3.5 quarters of the game, basically, just over 3 quarters that was dominant yesterday.
Former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter, thank you very much for the time, my man.
All right, thanks, fellas.
That is Mark Boerichter. I saw a team that was challenged professionally. Nobody thought that they could win yesterday without Marcus Peters, but the coaching staff, Andy Reid, thought they could win, or he would not have suspended Marcus Peters. And you know what? They showed professional pride, went out there and gave one hell of an effort and got a win against the Raiders. Back after this on WHB. And so the other Marcus Peters story that came out over the weekend on CBSSports.com, NFL Network. NFL Network's Mike Garofalo said that Peters got into a verbal spat with a coach on the way to the airport after the game against the Jets, which, along with the flag tossing and leaving the field, played a role in the suspension. They talked about that on Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Also, Michael Robinson from NFL Network said that Peters is apologetic. Robinson said, I spoke to him this week. He was very much apologetic. He hates the way the thing came out. Robinson also added that the absence of safety Eric Berry has impacted Peters. He said, I think the loss of Eric Berry has done some damage to Marcus Peters on a personal note. Just not being able to have that guy, whether you're like an Ike Taylor in that locker room, to be able to lean on when you're going through some stuff. So does that surprise anyone that Marcus Peters got into a verbal spat with a coach, and that also added to the decision to suspend him?
Well, isn't that why he got kicked out of college? I mean, kicked off his college team, I don't think that can surprise you. He's a volatile guy. He's never going to be shy about speaking his mind and his emotions. He's going to get in arguments with coaches. I can't surprise you at all, to me.
Jake?
No, I mean, that can't surprise you. I mean, but it makes more sense. Like, I didn't think what he did on the field was enough for him to be suspended. So it makes sense.
Right.
I mean, throwing a flag in the stand, frowned upon for sure.
And then walking off.
It was walking off the field that got him suspended. I still think that was a bigger deal.
I think this is why he got suspended.
Well, yeah.
Put it together.
And so,
I mean, I don't know if just those two alone get him suspended. Walking off the field and throwing that flag, I don't know if that gets him suspended. I think the verbal altercation is what, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. It's a victory Monday with the Chiefs essentially eliminating the Raiders from playoff contention. So that's always wonderful to talk about that on a Monday. We'll continue to do that right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.